Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has promised salvation to all who come to Him, that He is able to bring us to Thee and to bring us together so that Thou canst be with us and canst bless us. We thank Thee for it. Our Father, we pray now as we study that Thy Holy Spirit may take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. We have been thinking together concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as He is set forth in the Gospel according to Matthew. And in our recent studies, as we've gone along, it's been one case after another of where He has come to someone in need and has helped them. Sometimes, perhaps, some of us would have an idea, well, we could just read them over and then go on and forget about them. Let's not do that. Let's look at each one of these in turn and consider them and think about them and remember that these things were written for our learning upon whom the ends of the world have come. What really makes this meaningful is that the same Lord Jesus Christ of whom these things are told is now in the presence of God, and you and I can actually have dealings with Him. I expect some of us are perhaps a little confused at times because these things the Lord Jesus Christ did that we're reading about were all cases of physical healing. And some folks may possibly wonder whether we should expect those things now. I'm not going to say they couldn't happen, but I do want you to know this, that when the Lord Jesus was incarnate and was here in the flesh and moved on earth in the form of man, He was setting these things out in human form and in some sense almost in flesh, as it were. He came in the flesh to show us the things of God. And He did certain things with people that had to do with their bodies so that we could see it. But the real truth was with reference to the soul. Do you remember the case of the palsied man? And do you remember how, when they brought this palsied man to Him, the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? Anyone reading that would be surprised. You knew perfectly well those people brought that palsied man to the Lord Jesus. He should be healed. Then why did the Lord Jesus say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? Unless it would be this. The real point in His coming is to deliver men from sin. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." It's where sin abounded that grace does much more abound. The real thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is working on is our personal relationship with God. But He illustrates it in a practical way. He illustrates it in a way that you can see. And so we have seen these cases of physical demonstration illustrating the truth being that the living Lord Jesus Christ can deliver anybody who trusts in Him from anything that would afflict him. Now we're going to come across another such instance. We're reading and studying in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 9th chapter, and I'm going to begin to read at the 27th verse. "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying, saying, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?' They said unto Him, 'Yea, Lord.' Then touched He their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith be it unto you.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, 'See that no man know it.' But they, when they were departed, spread abroad His fame in all that country." That's the story. One more time we are showing here an instance of people in need. These men were blind. And their blindness, of course, was a great handicap in living. It interfered with them. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where you see their faith. They had heard about Him, and they were persuaded that this one could. Notice how they addressed Him. "Thou Son of David." This is meaning to say that they had insight at this point to recognize that this was the one who was entitled to sit on the throne. This was a descendant of David himself. And so they called out to Him, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." What a cry there is. and they know it will be mercy if they're blessed. But you and I can see their faith. They came to the Lord Jesus, and they asked him to have mercy on them. And he said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Challenging them again to exercise their faith, they said, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." According to your faith be it unto you. Now when we read it in this story, it seems so natural. They believed, and so they got it. But I want to pause and ask a question. Could this be the secret of much that is barren in our spiritual experience? Could it be possible if you, as you've lived your life, you maybe have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, you probably believe he is the Son of God, and you belong to a church in his name, you believe in God, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and may well be that you really believe that he died for your sins, and when you pass out of this world, you expect to go into the presence of God because Christ died for you. But perhaps you're living a life in which day in and day out you're not blessed. Maybe you're unhappy. Maybe you're distressed. Maybe things aren't working out for you. Maybe your own family is not turning out the way you want them to turn out. Maybe your business is troubling you. Maybe your health is a problem. I don't know what it'll be. But perhaps you have some distress, and you know you won't have everything perfect, and you're persuaded to understand that you might get sick and you might lose your health and so on, but still this bothers you and this troubles you. If I have described this rightly, I've tried to picture a person who is not being blessed. You do not have the help and the favor of God. Now, is it possible that the reason that you're not being blessed is that you're not exercising your faith? Here it is. According to your faith be it unto you. Is it possible that when I get nothing, it's because I believe nothing? If it's according to your faith and I don't believe anything at all, it be it unto you, there'll be nothing at all. You see how it goes? And I think we need to keep this in mind. The Lord Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you, and they got what they came for, because that's what they were actually asking for. Then he told them, see no man know it. A good many times we'll wonder about that. Why did the Lord Jesus from time to time say this? I do not know that I have the last answer, because the Bible itself doesn't tell us. I don't mind sharing with you an idea that I have. You see, the Lord Jesus knew that as he became more and more prominent and more notorious because of his work and action, that the resistance to him would be such that it would cut him off. And it's possible that he had the feeling his time had not yet come. I remember in another place where he says, my time is not yet come. Then there was a time when he said, my time, the hour is come. Then he went ahead and showed himself. Maybe it was just that he wasn't yet ready, in the sense the time hadn't come for him to end his ministry. And so he told it this way and put it this way earlier, telling them, don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet, so that he might go on with his work until the time would come when he would show himself openly. Maybe that's the way in which it was. At any rate, all we know is they didn't do what he asked. They, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Then we read of another instance. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And here's another strange thing. He has done good. He has effected a real benefit and blessing. He set a man free from spiritual domination and turned him loose and free so that he could talk. And when all that is said and done, the Pharisees, these people who tried to be good, they're religious people, they criticized him and did it on this basis, that they said that the reason he was able to do this was because he was actually working with the devil himself. Isn't that strange? But one thing you ought to be careful about, that you ought to be very careful who you listen to that criticizes the gospel. Even in our day and time, we will find instances when the gospel is being preached and souls are being blessed, that we'll have other people criticize the preaching and teaching of the gospel and do it in a sophisticated way. They act like they knew everything, and they act in this way, and they would indicate that according to the way they look at it, that all of this is not valid, and all of this so-called spiritual blessing just doesn't mean anything. Things like that. Certainly there were in those days, although the Lord Jesus had actually been used to the healing of this dumb man by casting out the demon. The Pharisees said he does it because he's working through the prince of the devils. Another time perhaps this will come up again. We'll be able to talk some more about it. But just now I wanted to bring it in here to show you that you can't go by what people say. You need to go by the Lord. And then when this was done, in verse 35, we have it like this. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That takes you way back to the beginning, doesn't it? We've been hearing that several times over, how he is teaching and preaching and healing. Yes. And to this day, as the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is known, he effectually and powerfully saves those who believe in him. And for those of you who are hearing it, if any of you have any kind of limitation in yourself, and deep down in your heart you just feel like a blind man, or perhaps you feel as if you're possessed with an evil spirit, and the evidence is there, let me encourage you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his great mercy and kindness in doing good to all men. Help us as we think on these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.